Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about Superstar from Fearless, Taylor's version.
Superstar. And today we are discussing the song Sweet Nothing from Midnights. Mm-hmm. Sweet Nothing is the 12th track on Midnights.
Midnights was released on October 21st, 2022, and this song, oh my god, it's almost a year old. That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Like, that, next I just week. Was reading it, and I was like, wait.
Isn't that nuts?
That is wild. I can't believe it's already been a year almost. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. This song was co-written by our former guy, William Bowery, a.k.a. Joe Alwyn.
Used to be our guy.
Sad.
No longer our guy.
No.
I wonder if Travis Kelce will write any music with her.
That would be pretty fun. Travis, let us know.
Taylor has played Sweet Nothing once live. She played it in Mexico City on her Eras tour on August 24th, 2023, as one of the surprise songs. Mm-hmm. It's cute. It's cute. The crowd singing along to it.
Yeah, really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Nothing.
Yeah. Mm. Devin, what do you think about this song?
Okay, first things first, you can absolutely, totally tell that this is a William Bowery special. Immediately, that opening piano lick is just like so Joe. Mm. It's just like, I knew it. Even today when I hadn't listened to this song in a while, I was just like, oh yeah, this is totally a Joe Alwyn original, right? Very similar to his piano doodlings on Evermore and Exile. Mm. But unlike Evermore and Exile, I have to say that this is a skip for me on Midnights.
Ooh.
I'm going as far to say
that yes, it is a skip. Wow.
I never listened to this song.
Wow.
I find it pretty boring. I think that it's a cute idea for a song. I mean, I love Sweet Nothings as much as the next guy. They're great, you know. I love saying Sweet Nothings to you. But I feel like the finished product of this song just is really lacking for me. I think that there isn't too much to it. I understand that it is a sweet and simple song, but still, like, that doesn't do anything for me when it comes to this particular song.
Interesting.
I just move right on to Mastermind. I think Taylor, though, like, sounds great because she sounds fantastic on this whole album. I think that this is a really standout album for her vocally, and I think that she sounds really great on this one, too. I can't stand the bridge. Like, so many ridiculous nouns. Smooth-talking hucksters out glad-handing each other. Like, it's just ridiculous. I don't know. I feel like she just was like, let's put as many, like, ridiculous things into a bridge that we can all at once.
I don't think it's like that at all.
It's so ridiculous.
The wording, the nouns are a lot. I don't think it's like, it's not all different ideas. It's all similar ideas.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah, but it's just, like, ridiculous.
It is wordy.
Like, I understand that she loves her AP words, I'm interested to see if Gossip Gab has the reason for why she kept this on the album, especially with all of the drama of the breakup happening around the release of the album.
Well, it didn't happen around the release of the album. It happened in April, beginning of the tour. The album came out in October.
But they were...
We didn't find out about the breakup till April.
Things were happening behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Most likely. I mean, we'll talk about that in Gossip Gab.
Okay.
But... So. We don't know exactly the timeline.
Right, because when we first listened to this album, we were like, oh, wow, it's a Joe album, and it's all about love, and we love love. And then when we found out that they broke up, it was like, oh, it's a breakup album. We don't like Joe anymore. Get him out of here.
No, but not that drastic, but just different nuance.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sweet Nothing. Gab, what do you think about Sweet Nothing?
So I really love that William Bowery piano lick. I love a sweet piano. I don't know. It just sounds so nice and lovely. I think it's a really pretty song. It's like a sweet and simple love song. I really love how airy Taylor's voice sounds on the track. Mm-hmm. For me, it's almost like a lullaby in some ways, this song. Mm-hmm. Kind of like listening to this song kind of feels like a warm hug or tea on a cold day.
Okay.
That's kind of how I feel when I hear it. You know, it's very soft and it's sweet and it's comforting. I really love the insight into their relationship with the verse about her writing a poem and him saying, "What a mind."
Mm.
and like just admiring her and her writing abilities. And she says, like, this happens all the time. Like, I really loved that for her. And, you know, it makes me sad that that didn't last, that feeling, you know? In connection to that admiration, I can't help but think about the lyric in Hits Different, your stare and sense of belief in the good in the world you once believed in me. You know, it just is really heartbreaking juxtaposed against each other that, like, you once believed in me, and then also, like, what a mind, you know? Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I really love the second half of the bridge.
Okay.
After, like, the super wordy parts in the beginning. I agree. There it is. It is a bit wordy. But the second half of the bridge, I absolutely love. I'm going to read those lyrics later. Spoiler alert. They're my favorite part of the song.
Spoiler.
But I also think that the whole bridge sounds really good. Like, I really like the sound and the switch up of the sound with the bridge. Obviously, I have to admit that this song definitely changed for me and has been a bit harder to listen to post-breakup with Joe.
Yeah.
Like, pre-breakup, I just really loved the simplicity of it. And I was like, oh my God, a window into the relationship. We never get this, you know? So that I really enjoyed. And it's definitely just been, like, a little sadder. I haven't listened to it, like, nearly as much post-breakup. However, the week that Midnights was released, one of my friends, who's also a major Swiftie, captioned her Instagram of pictures of her with her soon-to-be fiancé, like, hiking in nature, and she just captioned it, "Sweet Nothing." So now when I hear this song, I always think of them instead, and that makes me really happy. So for me, it's no longer a Taylor and Joe song. This song is about my friend and her soon-to-be husband. That is cute. And, like,
yeah, that's cute.
You know, it's just, like, it's always nice and fun when you, like, are happy for your friends and, like, who they're marrying, and that's so sweet and exciting. So that's what Sweet Nothing makes me think about. Yeah.
I like that. Cute.
Devin, do you relate to Sweet Nothing?
I love whispering Sweet Nothings to Gab, like, all the time. And they're usually ridiculous, you know? Like, that's what Sweet Nothings are. You know? It's very, very cute. And I like that a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, I relate. Gab, can you relate to Sweet Nothing?
I really love that idea of your partner and your home and your relationship as, like, a safe space from the outside world. I absolutely relate to that feeling. And the lyric, they said the end is coming, everyone's up to something, I found myself a run-in home to your sweet nothings. When everything else is, you know, crazy and chaotic, it's just really so nice to come home and feel safe and loved. Like, that's kind of all you can ask for in life. Like, it's special.
Yeah, getting to come home to a safe space is really the best.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, now I get to the segment of Gossip
As we've already hinted at and spoken about, sadly, given that this song was written by Taylor and Joe, this song is about Joe and their relationship. You know, here Taylor writes that amid her massive superstar life and the craziness of the outside world, her simple domestic life with Joe is like a safe haven. The relationship offers her peace and stability, and he asks for nothing in return in the song.
Yeah.
Obviously, this song isn't, like, a full picture of what happened at the end of the relationship, clearly, but it's rather a moment in time. Given what you said about timing, it's kind of hard to know with all the different songs on the album exactly when the breakup happened. I don't think the breakup happened before the album release. I do think that Joe and Taylor were on and off a lot more than anyone knew, that any of us knew. We didn't know at all. I don't think that they were just together all 6 years. So I think that there might have been times where they had some kind of issues and they were kind of taking space and then kind of getting back together. And so who knows what kind of was happening at that time that maybe they were or weren't. So I feel like some of the songs could have been written about different times of those, and some of those songs could have been written towards the end of the relationship, but I feel like when it was released, they were still together, because the announcement didn't come till April, so I think they broke up sometime around November or December. Personally, could be later. I obviously have no insight. It's just a gut feeling. And, like, oftentimes a lot of these breakups are announced at least, like, 3 to 5 months after they actually happen, just so that once it hits the public, like, the person isn't still grieving their relationship because she's such a massive star. And, like, a lot of times with massive stars, like, they can control the narrative and the medium, what comes out in a lot of ways.
For sure.
So that's just a guess. I have honestly zero clue. There's no insight that really gives me that other than those little things. But it seems as though when the tour started, end of March, the breakup announcement comes like April 9th, I think. It seems, because Invisible String was on the set list, that they might have not been broken up, or they might have been in a break and Taylor thought they'd get back together and something happened where that wasn't the case.
Sure.
And it seems that the announcement came at a time when Taylor was not expecting it or ready for it. She wouldn't have been like in the start of her tour expecting that to come out. Like, it doesn't seem like Taylor's the team that released it.
Sure.
And it doesn't seem like the timing was when Taylor would have wanted to release it, to me. And so we look at her changing Invisible String, a song that's about Joe, to The One, and really keeping it that way. It was only before the announcement. She only played it when they had put a bench in Centennial Park for her in honor of the song.
Right.
She played it in Nashville. So I feel like they were mostly together, even if there was some breakup and breakup feelings that have to do with Joe that affect certain songs here.
Mm.
But that maybe Taylor thought that it wasn't the end or wasn't ready to announce it and fully face it at that time.
Okay.
I feel like, because Hits Different obviously feels like a breakup song.
Yeah. And You're Losing Me.
And You're Losing Me, but You're Losing Me didn't come out until May.
Right.
So even though it's like part of Midnights and like the deluxe whatever version, she could have written that at any time after October.
Yeah, that's true.
So I kind of feel like that song was written after October. Hits Different, I think, might have been one of these break times, or maybe they, because like, is that your key in the door? Like, maybe it's hope they got back together, but we hear all these issues.
Uh-huh.
Those are my feelings on it.
Interesting.
Share yours with us, guys.
Oh.
But just like how close all the stuff is, like that's just kind of all the ways I feel about it. And I also think that the Maddie Healy kind of public stuff, even though they weren't like an official relationship, was purposely done publicly to like kind of hurt Joe in some way.
Oh.
Because there's, I feel like something went down at the end there where Joe did things in a way that maybe Taylor didn't want or Taylor was hurt by.
Interesting.
And yeah, like the Maddie Healy stuff seemed just so like quick and out of nowhere and weirdly public. Like the Travis stuff was more of like a coy, cute rollout. Maddie wasn't that way. Where I kind of feel like it was more done in a way to be like, I'm moving on from you.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is just my gossip gap insight, you know? I love it. Don't take it as truth, guys. It's just, these are the ways I feel about the things.
Taylor, just let us know.
Yeah. You know? Obviously, like, You're Losing Me is like the biggest, you know, criticism, indictment of Joe that kind of gives us the most insight into the relationship.
Hmm.
And it's hard.
It's hard.
So back to Sweet Nothing. We haven't talked this much about the breakup, actually, in a bit. It becomes pretty clear that this song is about Joe, other than, you know, them being in the relationship at the time and him working on the song. There's also a shout out to the Irish seaside town of Wicklow at the end of the first verse when she's talking about the pebble they picked up. Does it ever miss Wicklow? Joe filmed in Wicklow for the TV series Conversation with Friends, and Taylor spent some time there with him while filming.
Oh, interesting.
And in Ireland. Joe's pseudonym, William Bowery, comes from the first name of his composer and conductor great-grandfather, William Alwyn, and Bowery from the Bowery Hotel, where Taylor and Joe were spotted on a date early in their relationship. Alwyn previously made contributions to Exile, Betty, Coney Island, Champagne Problems, and Evermore. The phrase, Sweet Nothing, means words of affection exchanged by lovers.
Mm.
The earliest known written example of the term Sweet Nothings was found in the London magazine Belgravia in a poem from 1776 by Mary Elizabeth Braddon. The poem included a line that read, "As low he bends o'er her, he loves so dear, to whisper some sweet nothing in her ear."
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was so cool.
That's cute.
So for those of you who are like, sweet nothing, like I didn't know this was a phrase, or like English isn't your first language, that's a phrase, and that's where it started.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other gossip Gab questions I didn't cover?
My favorite sweet nothing to whisper to Gab is, "We're having sushi tonight."
That's a good one. I like that.
Or whenever she says, "Devin, where are you in the mood to eat?" And I'll whisper the sweet nothing, "Bear Fire Burger.
Yeah. Or like not sponsored, but we'd be happy to be. Yeah. All my sweet nothings are about food. Curry. Do you want Thai food tonight?
Whisper sweet nothings. It's all about food with me and Gab.
My goodness. So Devin, what's your favorite line in Sweet Nothing?
I find myself running home to your sweet nothings. Mm. It's very cute.
Yeah, it's sweet.
I think it's very nice because also you took mine. So I decided
to pick a different one. Yeah. Okay.
How about you? What is yours?
So you do like some of the lyrics in the bridge.
Some of them.
I absolutely, absolutely love these lines. And the voices that implore you should be doing more. To you, I can admit that I'm just too soft for all of it. I love this. This is some of actually my favorite lyrics on all of Midnight's. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of cool when like there are different songs that you have that are your favorites, but different moments and lyrics that can be your favorites from an album, sure. Not necessarily in your favorite songs.
Yeah,
I just really love it. The idea, the voices that implore you should be doing more. That's something that's constant in Taylor's life. And it's constantly like, as we get one album, we're like, when's the next one?
Yeah.
You know, where's TS 13 or 15? Where are we? I don't even know where we are right now.
TS 26.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's like such a constant thing. Or even during the re-records being like 1989, Taylor's version's about to come out. And like Taylor wears black and everyone's like, rep is next, yeah. You know? And I love it. And Taylor cultivated some of that. And it's really fun, but it's also that idea, like, you should be doing more. Like, how hard must it be to be an artist constantly creating and feeling like you should be doing more? And Taylor does the most.
The most.
So if she feels that way, yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, that's got to be very, hard. Very tricky. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just that, to you, I can admit that I'm just too soft for all of it. Like, the vulnerability of that lyric is just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just love that, too soft for all of it. Mm-hmm. And, so good. Those shirts are so cute. And just like also to you, I can admit, mm-hmm. you know, like there's a lot of intimacy there being like, I trust you. I feel safe with you.
Yeah.
Also just like her letting us into that too. Like, I'm just too soft for all of it. You know, like she is this huge superstar that feels almost like untouchable, but yet she's also really sensitive and vulnerable and can be fragile like any freaking human, you know? And I just think that's really special. Also, I just always feel like, yeah, I'm just too soft for all of it. And like, that's okay. Like, as I age, kind of like, I've like learned to embrace being okay with not being able to handle everything. Do you know what I mean? It's okay to be soft.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be a little naive or idealistic. Like, those things are okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I adore that lyric, and I love the way she sings it, like, a lot. It just feels like such, like, a little secret. Like, it feels like a sweet nothing. It feels like she's letting you in.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved this song so much. It felt like this, like, real intimate window into their relationship.
Mm.
Yeah. Now it makes me think of my friend, and that's lovely.
That is also lovely.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Okay, Devin, I'm a little worried for this. From 1 to 10 poems, what do you give Sweet Nothing?
I give Sweet Nothing 2 poems.
Oh my god. Devin, that's like worse than you gave Beautiful Ghost.
No, I gave Beautiful Ghost 2.
Oh my god. This song is online with Beautiful Ghost to you? Mm-hmm. Wow, it's dark. Okay.
It's fair. It is, unfortunately, just a song that I don't really enjoy listening to.
Mm.
You know, there aren't too many of them in the Taylor Swift discography.
Yeah.
For me, for sure. You know, like, I rarely say a skip. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'll say, like, oh, maybe I don't listen to it a lot, but, like, this one is just, yeah. So, sorry, everybody.
No, but, like, you
sorry, hum. Sorry, not sorry.
You hum in the kitchen, you know? I do.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like this song has aspects of it that I can relate to and that are very cute and stuff, but just the product and the production of it, they just don't do it for me.
Oh.
So, and we all know that I am not a lyrics person.
I know, yeah, it's different. You know,
I am very much the whole picture, how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I can respect the lyric and the poetry, of course, but, like, that doesn't make it a song I want to listen to.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, Gab, from 1 to 10 poems, what do you give Sweet Nothing?
I give Sweet Nothing... Oh, this one's hard for me. I think I'm going to give Sweet Nothing 6 poems. Mm-hmm. I think pre-breakup, it probably would have been 7 poems.
Okay.
But I listened to it way less post-breakup. Because it is still tricky for me, and it is this real, like, time capsule of the relationship. And maybe in a few years with more distance, it'll be a different thing, because she writes about past relationships all the time, and some in a positive way, you know? Yeah, so I'm going to say right now 6 poems. I really love a lot of the lyrics. I really love the simplicity. The piano lick is just, like, so soothing to me. Mm-hmm. And, like, I will, like, repeat that the voices that implore you should be doing more to you, I can admit that I'm just too soft for all of it is one of my, like, that lyric is a 10. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at @TayToZPodcast and give us all your thoughts. Are you so mad at us that we just didn't love your stand song?
Is this your stand song?
Is this your stand song? Is this your relationship song, right? Yeah. You know, I know that's a big thing is like, depending on where you're, what phase you're at in your relationship, if you cling onto a song in that way, then it mm-hmm. really is important for sure. to you. What is your thoughts on the real timeline of the breakup?
Oh, yeah.
Let us know it all. And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TayToZPodcast. And last week, we released a track one ranking, both of our track one rankings on the Patreon. And we will be doing that from track 1 through 13, I believe. Mm-hmm, so stay mm-hmm. tuned.
Our track rankings. Well, next episode, we'll be covering Sweeter Than Fiction from the One Chance soundtrack.
A rare one.
Rare one. This might be one of her last, like, single, not on an album, songs that hasn't been on a re-record yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, she didn't put it on Speak Now. Mm-mm. I don't know what year. We're going to find out next week what year it was released, and we're going to let you guys know. Once we do that research, come hang with us to find out. That's a teaser, Deb.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.